Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy here, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm, The Rise of the Microbrands. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Okay, so today I'm joined by Ping Pong Payments Ryan Kramer on this podcast. Ryan's going to be talking about the hidden fees of international marketplaces, but also the best ways to save money when selling internationally. So before we get to that, Kelsey, you're around.
I am. Welcome, welcome, everybody. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay. All right, so let's get into it. Join our Beard Nation. It's our Facebook group. You can find it by going to Lunch with Norm, Amazon FBA, and E-Commerce Collective. That's where all of the main info goes. If there's any ever questions, follow-ups, stuff like that, where the community is. So if you ever want to meet the people, let's say from last episode's Beard Nation episode, they're all in there, and that's how we all got to meet each other. So definitely check that out. I'll put the link in the bio. I also want to give a quick shout out to our Patreon supporters, Faye Green, Marsha Reese, and Mark Conch. They've donated some money, so that's awesome. Thank you guys.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Thank you so much.
No, they've bought us some coffee, which is
we love
awesome.
Our coffee.
Yeah, and great. And let me see, is there anything else?
Well, other than the most important thing, we've got Fatia, Marcia, I'm not sure who the Facebook user is, but and Mark.
All right. Yes. So welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. If you guys have any questions at all, put them in the comment section and I'll throw them up on the screen whenever we can get to it. And yeah, hope you guys are excited for this one. It should be good. All right. We have some giveaways today, too. So, yeah, it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, and one of the things that you're supposed to do.
Yes, smash the like button.
Smash the likes, hit the subscribe, rib that.
Share the episode.
Ring the bloody bell. Okay, I think that's what I'm supposed to do.
Let me just see.
That was my one thing I was supposed to do, ring a bell. Okay, so we got a bunch more people coming on now.
Okay, Dee, your name is showing. That's great. I'll send you the link to fix it. If anyone has problems as Facebook user, I'm just going to say this right now. I'm going to send you a link that says streamyard.com/Facebook. Follow that link. It's a one-time thing, and you'll be able to see your name after that. So I'll put that in the group.
That easy.
Yeah. So welcome, Simon, Rad, Facebook user. We'll get started right now.
And yes, that's right, Simon. Ding dong. All right. And just before the podcast, I saw that the new newsletter was out. So anybody interested in looking at our newsletter, subscribing, go to Lunch with Norm or go over to normferrar.com and you can subscribe to it. It really doesn't suck. It's got tons of content for online users. All right. If you do have any questions, just throw them over in the comments section and we will get to them during the show. Or we'll answer them right after if we don't get to it. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. Welcome, Mr. Ryan.
What's up, Norm? How are you?
I like that. Quick as strong.
Look at that. Quick exactly. It's a good day. It's Monday. It's started snowing where I'm at, so that's kind of sucks. But other than that, it's a good day to be online.
I don't even know why you live in Canada.
I mean, I live in Indiana, so there's nothing great about that either.
Well, I like Canada. It's just the bloody weather.
I know.
All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about Ping Pong?
Yeah. So my name is Ryan Kramer. I'm actually partnership manager, affiliate marketing / podcast host for Ping Pong Payments here in the United States. We're actually an international payments company that help sellers around the world here in the United States as well save money when they either send money or receive it. So it's almost like a virtual bank account. It's the easiest way to do it. So if you've heard of companies like Payoneer, OFX, or TransferWise, and you just don't know what they are, basically we're the same, you know, category, but we're here to help you in terms of international transfers. So instead of a wire transfer, you'd be using our services and saving money when you pay your supplier, for example, or pay your VA, or even receiving from multiple marketplaces around the world. So that, long and short, is kind of what we do. And it's always fun to educate people on the ways to save on Amazon as a seller, because margins are just so thin when you're starting out. It just sucks when you know that you could be saving 2 to 5% on just simply conversion rates. So that's kind of what we do in a nutshell. And I have a podcast, so I had you on as well, and just talk Amazon all day, every day, e-commerce all day, every day, and help people save money. That's what my job is.
So just before we got on, I'm kind of curious. I'm asking almost every guest right now what their thoughts are on Clubhouse. Are you on Clubhouse or?
I'm not. So that's the weird thing. I was telling Kelsey this too earlier. I'm not on Clubhouse, but I'm going live every day with people. Like my show went live 5 times last week. So I feel like I'm talking to a similar community. And it's weird that Clubhouse took off like it did, because I think we're just hankering for networking in any sort of capacity, just because we can't get together. But Clubhouse, I feel like if I'm on Android, I'm an Android user by definition. So I don't have an iPhone or an iPad that's like most recently up to date. So can't even get on. So that's the most frustrating thing. Otherwise, I would.
Wait. You don't have an iPhone.
Isn't that crazy?
I love iPhone. I actually, there's going to be some haters, but I really do all. You know what? I'm a sucker for Apple. Apple puts out a new product, I buy it.
I like my Mac. Like, I have a Mac, and I would be on Clubhouse. I just think it's funny that half the market, it fluctuates back and forth, are Android users, and I have a Samsung Galaxy. Like, yeah. I don't hate it. I love it, actually. I just think that's what I grew up with, and that's what I'm used to. So there's nothing that one versus the other. One's good at one thing.
One's just good.
Very similar. Yeah, exactly. I call people, I text people, it all goes through. It kind of all works the same in my mind. It's just, I can't get on the Apple store.
Well, hey, if anybody's listening right now and they're not on Clubhouse because they can't find an invite, let me know and we'll get, I've got 3 that I can send over. I'll need your phone number as well as your name, so I can enter it into my contacts. And we could do that at the end of the podcast as well. So if you are looking and you haven't been able to get on, let me know, and I can send that over to you. So we'll take 3 people. All you have to do is I want Clubhouse, and like hashtag I want Clubhouse, and we'll get you some invites. Okay, so. Cool.
And yeah. I should say, just put the hashtag. You don't need to put your phone number. Just once we pick the people, we'll message you and get all that information.
Oh, I guess, so, yeah. So yeah, we don't want everybody's phone number.
You don't have to post your phone number.
Yeah.
Just, we'll send it.
Privacy, we're going to make sure we're all compliant.
Yeah, I guess that would break some sort of privacy thing.
Whatever.
Who cares? anyway, all right, so let's get into this. So where do you think the international part of this whole fits into the plan for the average Amazon seller over the next 1 to 3 years?
Yeah, good question. I think what a lot of Amazon sellers saw in 2020 was that their sole reliance on Amazon.com, or just like selling on Amazon alone. And I think that was scary for a lot of sellers who either couldn't get their inventory in because it was not deemed necessary, or, you know, I forget what the technical term was, but where they couldn't get enough of their inventory in to launch new products. I think their cap on all these different inventory levels was frustrating for a lot of sellers. So I'm hearing a lot from my show, but also just other people who are selling on Amazon, is their ability to diversify and find different revenue channels, not just solely reliant on Amazon. And when I talked to Shane over at PR Reach, he was, you know, very much building out a brand on both, you know, off Amazon, and so that you can either that's on Shopify or that's on different marketplaces, so that you can grow that community like you are, or another brand would, you know, do. Internationally, I think that there's so much opportunity for people not to start taking a serious look at growing into different marketplaces like Europe or UK. A lot of people are touting, you know, Brexit's not as big of a deal. It's just you put inventory in UK and also in Germany, for example, and then it can still fulfill everywhere. But even marketplaces like Japan or budding markets like Singapore, you know, and eventually, hopefully India and whatnot, those are going to start to grow and get traction once Amazon figures out their way into that marketplace and be competitive. So it's still not a tested market. It's a tested market, but it's not something like where the US market is currently, but that can change in an instance like the US market did. And once you ride that wave upward, I think a lot of sellers will start to see the benefit of international growth as well.
So, and where do you see the fastest growth coming from?
Yeah, I think just on different, from Ping Pong's perspective, the data was interesting this year because it was an outlier year. I think we saw everything speed up in terms of everyone would try to get on Amazon. Everyone was trying to get on e-commerce in general. But when you talk, when you look at actual tangible numbers of growth and you look at like the big days like Prime Day or on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, those didn't grow as much as they did in years past. And I think that's because overall, just daily habits of buying online were spread out so much that people weren't just focused on those singular days. You saw it on advertisements like on Target. You saw it on Walmart. They touted big, really long, month-long promotions instead of, you know, just one major day where there was so much growth and volume happening. But I think in terms of growth, it was recently announced that Target's going to be a marketplace. So Target, by definition, is a retailer, but is trying to grow their online presence. Walmart's really still popular, but not competing with Amazon. But on different marketplaces, like building your own channels, I think those are going to start to take off. And then international marketplaces for US sellers, I should say, in Europe is really a budding market. And then, of course, in Japan, I keep telling Japan, I think Japan's a really, it's the third most popular Amazon marketplace. But it's really hard to figure out like what's going to do well there. Obviously, you're talking about four plus languages that you have to decipher for your PPC, for your listings and all that kind of stuff. But it's a really budding market in terms of what's popular over there with Rakuten, with Amazon. So I think those are the major places really where you're going to see growth.
I guess you have to think out of the box, outside of the North American box, because like you said, Rakuten's over there. In Australia, you've got different marketplaces, you know, all over the world. It's not, Amazon isn't the biggest play. So you could explore different marketplaces depending on where you are. You probably do your research on that as well before entering it. I know the Japanese market fairly well, and you know, people will just say, oh, you know, let's get into Japan. So they go to Japan and they register, but they don't realize the demographic over there.
Right.
And one of the things I was able to see, I lived in Hawaii for 5 years, and I was able to see the Japanese tourists coming over and dying. I mean, they'd pay anything for certain products. And so that's where I took my advantage, just marketed as a Hawaiian type of product. And, you know, it actually went for 2 to 3 times what we would pay in North America for. They love this
Absolutely.
Types of products. So you just kind of got to look at it that way.
And you mentioned culturally, and I tell it with like Amazon sellers and service providers all over the world, even like in Mexico, which is not far from the US, it's just a lifestyle thing where, or in Europe, they just rather go down the street to a market instead of buying on their phone for the sake of convenience. Like they can just walk down the street, which is nice in a non-COVID world. But even on Mexico, it's a little bit slower paced. They would rather just like take their time in terms of like logistics or building out, you know, factory wise, getting goods to you. It's a slower pace. So it really hasn't picked up in terms of the e-commerce wave where here in the United States, we're literally, I need it in 2 hours or I'm going to die. Like it's almost to that point where just culturally people aren't where we are in the United States. And I think that's tough for a lot of people in terms of trying to figure out psychologically what really, you know, what a seller's or what a buyer is looking for in those marketplaces. Cause in the US it's saving money. I want it cheap and I want it fast. And that's where I always find the most interesting kind of customer segments is that's the United States. We spend a lot of money. We want to save a lot of money and we want it fast. What is it internationally? And that's kind of the next tier, if you will, to grow your brand.
Yeah. I take a look at India, for example. I'm not sure who I was talking to about this. Maybe it was Tim Jordan or maybe it was Magla, but one of the questions I had was about the popularity. You can go and you can sell on a .in, but who's going to buy it? And whoever it was just said, shake your head. Do you know how many? It must have been Tim, you know.
But that sounds like Tim.
Yeah. But do you know how many millionaires are over there? Do you know how many people would want this product or a product? Because, you know, it just, first of all, they can afford it. You know, it's just understanding the culture. You know, there's people want beautiful products in India. Now, here's another thing. I talked about this a little while ago, weeks ago, but I was talking to somebody who came over to PR Reach and we were talking about supplements. And the guy says, oh, you know, I sell supplements in India. I said, oh, that's good. And he says, yeah, I do about 10,000. I thought, well, that's really good. 10,000 a month? Yeah, it's great. He goes, no, 10,000 a day. A day. I said, that's
pretty good. That's
damn good.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think anyone would be hankering for those kinds of numbers, no matter what industry you're in. But yeah, especially but supplements. That just shows that's fantastic.
I always thought India was a very tough market to get into. It still is tougher, but a lot of things have loosened up. And that is definitely a market that I want to get into this year. And I know, like with Tim and Megla, they, you know, they're doing what Source in Asia to try to get people to take a look at India outside of China. But that's just another marketplace. Now, with your service, just kind of curious, can you send payments to India?
Yes, you can. So you can send an INR from us. And that's when you mentioned, you know, it's tough to get in there. I think it was Megla when I was talking to her on our show, Crossover Commerce, is they're trying to do it so that they protect the Indian community and ecosystem. So just trying to get into that marketplace where it's competitive advantage, like Amazon coming in there, for example, and selling on the IN, you know, those are difficult compliance issues where it's just hard to send and receive money, but you can send money with Ping Pong into India for sure. But in terms of like receiving it, like out of a marketplace, not yet, but that's, you know, just in terms of commerce in general, but you can definitely send an INR through our services. So you can pay out a supplier in INR in local currency.
So let's talk about the other international marketplaces right now. So the UEA.
Yeah. UEA.
I was wrong.
Yeah, United
That's
Emirates.
That's my dyslexia. Yeah. That's my dyslexia.
Yeah, no, the United Emirates. Yeah, it's that's another one that we actually you can receive in funds too. So the dirham, it's definitely a marketplace that, you know, there's a lot of money over there. It's a lot of money overseas, and you just think as a seller or as a you know, when you're consuming these kinds of things, and you look at this the landscape in terms of like where you're at in that community, even though it's not a lot of eyeballs, it's a lot of money where that is located. So selling in that marketplace, obviously, it is something that's coming up. I think that, again, it's just the velocity. When you look at sole audience numbers, it's not appealing to someone who wants to sell a velocity amount. But if you want to start becoming a brand and being international, I think that's something also super fascinating to me. Even Singapore too, once they open up like their logistics chain in that Southeast Asia, you know, area where you can start to, you know, ship from island nation to island nation, that would be something very fascinating to me. I think I keep going back to Megla because she's my go-to person over there. Just when they open up that kind of ecosystem, you can talk to billions of people and get it prime shipping, you know, within a really quick amount of time. And that would just be a really cool market to get into, I think, if you're looking at it like under the radar, but budding to boom.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah. And are there any others that you're looking at? Like, I'm looking at like Australia, for example.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think Australian market, I think they're really figuring out that was another thing. I think like culturally, they were just a little bit slower to catch on in terms of like the mobile and e-commerce way. But now a lot of their sellers are selling in the US. But I think just in terms of it as a consumer, you can really start to see it take off in terms of, you know, people are purchasing over there. It's just hard. And if you think logistically about the amount of people and how to get your goods there, I think the supply chain is the biggest issue for a lot of sellers is how do I get my goods to certain countries without being super expensive? I think there was a lot of, it was like quadruple the amount to get from goods from China over to Europe even. And that was the logistical nightmare of, you know, Amazon, just the amount of volume they're doing, but also just the logistics system is so bogged down right now, it's hard to get it there quickly. So I think Australia is a big one. I think once Amazon figures out South America, honestly, like Brazil, huge marketplace, big e-commerce opportunity. But once they open up there, I think that'll be a huge market in South America, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and one of the things I think we should discuss, and we've already had a podcast recently on this, but with translation. Mm-hmm. If you're getting into these marketplaces and you're going to Google Translate, forget it. You've really got to have, proper translation. And, you want to go to a translation service like Yana's, Krakek. She was on just recently, and her service, or there's other services out there, but go to a service that's actually going to translate your listings properly. And there's so many really bad examples. I don't have to get into it, but when you're getting into international marketplaces, make sure you spend the money. There's good money and bad money to be spent. And that's definitely good money. The other areas, what do you think about global? Just setting up the global. Kevin King was on the other day, and we were talking just briefly about setting up global shipping. So you don't have to really worry about too much getting into all these other marketplaces, play around with it for a bit before you really, jump in with 2 feet. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So there's programs that Amazon touts to easily, almost like dip your toes into international marketplaces. So for example, if you're selling in the United States, you can actually, apply to the North American Remote Fulfillment Program, which is NARF. I mean, it's a really terrible acronym, but NARF, yeah, it sounds really unsexy. Like it's a terrible acronym, but it does its job. So we actually have a lot of sellers, Scott Needham, I don't know if you know, him, but I think it's the Buy Boxer or Buy Box Expert. He touts that program up and down all day long, because having your goods in United States, what it is you can have your goods in the United States but have Amazon fulfill to Canada and to Mexico if that listing actually warrants it. So you can have it listed on .ca or .mx. And if there's goods that, if you're translated and you're listed on those marketplaces, you can have it fulfilled from North America, like obviously in the United States, wherever, if you're in an FBA facility. So it's really interesting to think that. I think those programs are definitely super valuable. And on the flip side, the same thing with the European program. I think if it's in Germany or one of those countries, I want to say it's definitely Germany, that they'll fulfill to all of those European countries in terms of like your goods being logistically getting to different marketplaces over there in different countries.
So remember, you heard NARF here first.
Right here, the NARF right program. I think it's a beta program, but we can definitely give more information about it, like how sellers can hook it up. If you do a quick Google search of it's in Seller Central somewhere. I think I would have to definitely look it up again, but it's like an invite only. You have to do a certain velocity, but I think they're going to start opening that up more in terms of, just fulfillment reasons. I think that you would have to.
So why don't you send over that information? We'll put it in the show notes and make sure that everybody gets it. Kelsey, do we have any questions?
Yeah, we sure do. Let's see. We have one from Rad. When you guys were talking about the Indian marketplace, do you have to be an Indian to sell in India market?
It's a good question. I don't know all the logistical.
I think it's like Japan. You have to have a presence. So you last time this could have changed. Last time I checked, that you have to have a company represent you in India. Now that might have changed, but that's what it was.
That was the same thing with banks too. You'd always have to have a physical presence in that in that country. And that's kind of where companies like us, where we kind of took that over, and now you don't need to. So it's possible. That's a good question. I have to
look Andrew into that. Says no, you don't. So maybe they changed that.
Everything's constantly changing, so they might be opening that up.
I'm going to check with Magla, because she was just on the show a month or two back, and she said that you still needed to have somebody there to open up a company, I believe. But I am going to confirm that, and I'll get back to you. Or if Andrew wants to, hey Andrew, do you got time to pop on and talk about this? Just let me know.
Okay, interesting.
Probably from
That has to have been something new, because I swear you had to still have a business entity, but that might have opened up recently.
Yeah.
Dawn's saying I received an invite from Amazon to sell in India, but not sure how it works.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what? We're gonna talk to Magla right after this, and by Wednesday's episode, we'll have all the information for everybody.
Great question.
Okay, and Darwin, I've started selling with Amazon Global, got a few sales from Canada. How does taxes work? Does Amazon handle that?
Yeah, so there is something called GST and VAT, which is, again, more acronyms that really suck. Think of it as sales tax. Amazon, because of Brexit, it changed for UK, but anywhere in Europe, UK, and then also Canada, you have to pay what's called GST. Amazon will either... There's a couple different ways. They will either credit you if you pay all that, or if they pay month by month, but you have to pay these tax authorities in order to be compliant and to continue to obviously pay the government, again, like sales tax in the United States. So you can actually pay those authorities through Ping Pong. You should have contact information, the tax authorities information. You just input it and then you can pay them for free. That's where also accounting services are also fantastic, is they can have access to Ping Pong, or they have their own software and they can pay those authorities. It's free to pay them, but you have to pay them. So, but it's called GST and VAT for different capacities. It has to be a certain threshold dollar amount for you to be qualified for it. But I think, especially in UK, it was almost all sales are VAT. You know, you have to pay those on those goods.
Yeah. And in Canada, it depends on the province, but yeah. And if anybody needs any real detail, like let's say that you're moving into Canada, into sales, you're opening up a business, you can just send us just a PM or DM or whatever these acronyms are, message us, and we could put you in touch with an accountant or an accounting firm up here. There's plenty of them. But yeah, you definitely want to do it right. I got a message, I think about 2 weeks ago, somebody who didn't. And now they're having problems in Canada because they owe a ton of tax. Yeah. And by the way, one of my clients did a no-no, and hopefully they're not listening. They don't even, I'm not going to say the name, of course, but they owed over $1 million in tax, VAT, that they found out. So pay your tax. Don't hide it. They will catch you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that's always hidden. You never think about it, but that is something for you as a US seller. If you're selling in Canada, you do have to pay those taxes. They have to be aware of.
Yeah. All right. Kels, next.
From Yelchin, can we make a wire transfer via Ping Pong for any countries?
Yeah. So we support over 160 different currencies. So by any country, there's obviously some no countries like a North Korea or Russia. And those are just for compliance reasons, because since we work with tier one banks, we have to follow strict security and compliance regulations for every single country and every single state province that we support. So sending to those countries, it's basically a bank account, like a wire transfer, if you will. So if a bank if it red lights that, then we can't support that, but that's for any kind of money entity. And the reason for that is so that on the very like ugly dark side of being compliance and money. So you're not supporting like terrorism or like child sex trafficking or any sort of like very disgusting habits, or I said entities around the world, so that there's bad, you know, money going back and forth between entities. So there's a list of like countries we don't support, but they're for good reasons. But in this case, I think you'd be okay if you're sending to like, of course, like China, that's a one that we work with a lot. But there's just like certain countries around the world we would not support.
All right. I just saw that Andrew posted something here. Just check it out, Kelson.
Yeah, it's selling to India, the Facebook page or right. Facebook group.
And I'm still going to go back. I'm going to get, I'll talk to Tim and Magala about that. And maybe we'll do just a quick live to get that straightened up as well. Yep. Okay. Next question.
All right. We have two more from the audience. So from Darwin, my trademark works in US and Canada. Is there a way I can transfer A plus content without having to rewrite everything?
In a different language, Darwin? So I'm not sure I understand that. So if you're going into Japan or if you're going over to India, do you need to change the content? Well, first, I'm not sure if you're talking about translation or not. So if you could just clarify that would be awesome.
Same language, he said.
Same language. So I guess just transferring the content.
Yeah, transferring the content. And I'm not 100% sure that every platform supports A+. I don't know. But if they do support A+, yeah, you definitely do want to do anything you can translate it into the same language.
Okay. And last one is from Fatiha. How do you compare better to Pioneer or TransferWise?
It's like she was paid to do this. No, that's a great question. So they're both great companies. They've been around longer, if you can imagine. So Pioneer was established in Israel. TransferWise was established in the UK. And we actually started our company in New York City. But our international headquarters is actually over in China. So a lot of the differences, we're very popular with the Chinese seller marketplace. Just because there's no other solution out there that was supporting them. So I think a marketplace pulls a lot of the new sellers was coming from China. So we, help other international sellers everywhere around the world sell on multiple marketplaces. So it's not just for US sellers, it's for people who are located in China, or if they're located in Europe, they're located all over the place. We can definitely support those kinds of entities. How we're different, everyone can send out to a lot of the same countries and different currencies. We all have roughly the same amount. It's going to be your rates. And what's the best thing is you have options as an Amazon seller. So first off, if you have the ability to negotiate your rates, or you didn't know you can negotiate your rates, that's number one, because maximum that we charge in terms of our fees for inbound or outbound would be 1%. That can go down depending on the threshold and how much you're sending and receiving. So 1% of ping pong's fees is going to be better than if you're sending, again, for your supplier. You might be sending through PayPal and they might be charging you 4 to 5 or 6% even to your supplier. So think about 6% all the way to 1%. That's where you would do a cost savings. And then obviously with us, we have the ability to pay out in RMB and CNY. So if you're paying your supplier and you have a good working relationship and you're only paying in USD with Ping Pong, you can actually load in money from either your receiving account from your different marketplaces, or you can actually put money into that account and you can pay your supplier in that RMB or CNY, which is local currency for China. And you can say, hey, if I paid you out in local currency, what would be my savings instead of paying you in USD, and you would have to convert it for you. And a lot of the times your supplier will come back and say, hey, this is what you'd be saving. You do a side-by-side comparison and you're saving roughly anywhere between 2 to 3% just on your supplier paid, because they don't want to have to convert it themselves. They have to pay those fees. And most often than not, you're going to get charged those fees. They're just going to put it into your invoice. So that's where, having that ability to negotiate with people, that's where there's all that value added. In terms of those relationships. So that's why I would say those number one things. And then we're going to walk you through if this is something new. If Amazon is all you know and you're using Amazon services, you're getting charged that 3 to 5% conversion rate. So if I'm selling in the UK and I'm receiving pounds, think about it this way. Amazon's going to convert those funds for me from the pound to USD if I'm in the United States. And that conversion, that's my money, but they're converting it at a cost. Again, with convenience comes cost, as everyone knows. And Amazon will take that cut to your bank account, but they will charge you 3 to 5% just to do that that convenience. So that's where you'd be saving money with our entities. But you should always know where you can save money, but also know in what capacity you can save it, because a lot of people are just not aware. Amazon doesn't tell you outright, hey, by the way, seller, in the UK, we're going to charge you this amount just to convert from British pound to USD. That's not how it works. It's actually, they tell you this is what your revenue is in the United Kingdom, and then this, they're going to pay you out in your bank account, which most often than not for US sellers is in USD. If it's in any other country, they're going to still convert it in that currency. But what you have to do is take out all of Amazon's fees, take the revenue amount at the end of the day, go into Google, and you can actually look at what day that Amazon paid you on, and go into Google and look at the currency conversion from whatever currency to your local one. And you can see what you should have got paid based on that rate versus what you did. And that's where that fee is, that discrepancy. That's where that fee Amazon charges you is.
Yeah, 4% of $100,000 is a pretty good chunk of change.
Exactly.
Yeah. So let's talk about are there more hidden fees? Like I consider that a hidden fee because you don't know it's going to be 4 points. But are there any other hidden fees that we could talk about?
Yeah, I mean, with banks too, I think that's not just Amazon. Amazon's not the only thing.
They're not only evil out there.
Well, yeah, and again, when you're first to market like a PayPal, with convenience, you can charge whatever you want. If you think about it, if you're first to market and you're the only solution, people are not going to not use you, especially with paying your not just your suppliers, but your VAs. A lot of people are just used to the way things were. And you don't shop around and you think about how can I save more money? Like that's not a constant thing people are doing. Just like if you're a buyer, you're obviously always looking for coupons. You're looking for free shipping. You're looking for different ways that you can just save for time and convenience. With banks, those are kind of the most, you know, the most difficult ones in terms of like you really don't realize how much you're spending in fees unless you are going through it all month by month. And even as a beginner seller, think about this. If you're a if you're paying a bank or paying your supplier, you have to pay, first off, you have to go in person to make an international transfer. You have to go to a bank. So you're wasting your own time, which is a commodity you don't get back. So you have to go to a bank. You have to make the international transfer with your bank. And they will give you a set rate at which this currency is going to be transferred over. You have no negotiating power. So the bank has all control. They don't want to have to deal with those, in their mind, small transfers. It's not small to you because it might be 5-6 figures that you're sending over there. But to them, it's small potatoes. They don't want to have to deal with those one-off currency conversions. That's why they charge you those incredibly crazy rates. So they'll charge you 5% just for the convenience of sending off to an account. They don't verify it with you. So if a seller is sending 6 figures, it's going to be a pit in your stomach for all those days until you see that, hey, money got taken out of my account. I hope it was the right account. Or if you made one number that was incorrect in the account you have to send to, how are you going to get that money back? You have to go through the wire tracing, all that other fun, disgusting stuff that hopefully you can get that money corrected into the right hands. And that just takes more time off your plate. And then banks, again, for every time you do a wire transfer, it's $50 to $150. So if you think and add that up over the course of how many times you're paying a supplier, that money also starts to add up. So I would say banks are pretty bad when you pay your like VAs or you're paying your employees around the world, like freelancers. Again, those are also ways that money's just escaping out of your pocket and you need to have control over those like those convenient ways to sell and help people, or even paying your own employees. So this is what I would say is like, just be wary. I say not wary. They're obviously great entities, but just kind of do your homework and know other ways you can save time and money when selling online.
Yeah, it's really important. That's another part that when sellers come on, you want to make sure that you've trapped your costs and you've got those under control. The second step is, where else can I start shaving? And a lot of the times what I'll find are people using these crazy ways of paying. And then let's take a look now and see where else you can start saving. So like PayPal, for example, it's so convenient to pay on PayPal, but you're being charged through the nose. Amazon, the banks. So we've talked about foreign exchange quite a bit. I know Afolabi comes on. He talks about that quite a bit as well, Tim. But if you're not doing it, you're not knowing. This is Tim Francis comes on and he starts talking about knowing your numbers. These are one of those little things tucked away that if you do it, you can save 2-3 points at the end of the day. Now, think of it not at $100,000. Think of it at $1 million.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money that just because you're doing it wrong and you don't know. I come across people, I've got clients right now, they had no idea. They came onto Amazon, they became really good 8-seller figures, but guess what they're paying through? They're paying through the bank thinking that they save money. So anyways. My volume is low? Okay.
Interesting.
Olga, how's that now?
Well, and I'll say, like, we have real case studies. Like, if you're $1 million seller and you're selling in multiple marketplaces, we took one customer, well, obviously you can't name that they just converted just one of their marketplaces over to us, and they saved 90 grand a year just in sheer like FX savings.
Yeah.
You can think about just in one marketplace flipping that over and saving $90,000. Shoot, put that in your back pocket, buy yourself something nice that you're working hard for, put a down payment on loans or, you know, anything of those that you can put that money and apply it to, because it is your money at the end of the day. It's just, why would you want to waste it for the sake of convenience when there's other solutions you can use it to keep more of it? I mean, that's why we're in entrepreneurs. We're doing it to either grow our brand, grow yourself, and step away from either your 9-to-5 job, or you're trying to just like take a next step and, you know, secure your family's financial future.
Right. Now, I've seen a couple of comments come up, and anybody who listens to this podcast know I'm blind as a bat. And we got it set up. It's about, you know, a 16th of an inch going across. Sometimes I catch it, sometimes I don't. But Kelsey's got to read out some of them. I saw Baptiste come up.
Baptiste, you
know,
what's up?
You know what's really cool? So if you go to Clubhouse and you check into Clubhouse, you'll see this really cool picture of me, cooler than I am. It was Baptiste. He made this really cool image for me, and he sent it over, and he said, hey, you should use this. So I got to thank you. I never did. But anyways, okay, we have a short podcast today because I've got to get on to another podcast for my other podcast called I Know This Guy, which is a really good podcast. So
but anyway, subscribe today.
But I have an interview with that in a few minutes. So why don't we do this? Let's look, we were talking about Clubhouse a little bit earlier on. If you don't have a Clubhouse invite, just put Kels, hashtag Clubhouse, and you can be entered. I'll take three people. Kelsey will reach out, and we'll send you over some invites. I got a bunch of them, so we'll send them over. Don't put in your phone number, I was told, because that's a privacy thing. Not everybody wants their phone number published in this chat. The other thing is we've got a couple of giveaways, and if you don't know about this, let's talk about the other thing that Ryan's going to be working on, or the giveaway that he has.
Yeah, so Ryan, if you want to explain what people can get if they sign up.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you sign up today, for everyone who's a listener, obviously, if you have questions, you can obviously tag me on social media and I'll give you my Calendly. We can talk one-on-one for sure. But for anyone who listens to this and you mentioned you heard about me or Ping Pong Through Lunch with Norm, we're going to give you up to the first $500 in FX away to you for free. So that's, you're not paying any ping. Yeah. So you're not paying any ping pong fees or anything like that. You're doing just the simple conversion rates, the mid-market rates. You sign up for our service, test it. It's free to sign up. So you can go through all the motions. We can walk through everything with you, handhold yourself through getting it signed up, pay a supplier, pay your VA, you know, receive money from multiple marketplaces, test drive it almost like a car dealership, test drive it. And if you like it, continue to use it. But yeah, we'll make sure we hook you guys up as listeners. So all of our contact information, either tag me or email me, ryan.kramer@pingpongx.us. And I think we'll put that in the information as well.
Okay, very good. All right. So that is, you just have to sign up for that. That's very cool, by the way. Thank you. All right. So you know what? Talk about fair and balanced. Where have I heard that before? Ryan and I are competitors, by the way. So, you know, I want to bring in people that have great content. So, and just like my Amazon, I'll tell everybody all day long my brands, but I don't care about competition or competitors. He brought on some really cool value prior to the podcast to bring him on. That's what we asked. We wanted to have something cool that we could talk about that our listeners would listen to. But anyways, guys, you like it, go over, sign up, check it out. That's a really great deal that Ryan put together for us. All right. Absolutely. So let's see. We had some swag, didn't we?
Oh, yeah. So also, if you want to spin the wheel, I know we were talking about we have ping pong, water bottle, and I believe a notebook as well. We would give away as well. Okay. Might even have a t-shirt. So if we have the size, we can also give a t-shirt away.
Okay. So Kelsey, let's do the Clubhouse thing first. And let's see how many people signed up for Clubhouse.
How about the right now we only have four. We have four for Clubhouse, and you said that you have three.
Okay, Brad, let's give the people that did it, let's just to get their information, and we'll send them four.
So what I was going to say is Brad is offering to give out two invites too. So so we have those four covered. I'll talk to Rad about this afterwards.
Sure.
And I arrange everything. But yeah, so that's covered. And then the giveaway. So hashtag ping pong.
Way. That works. That works.
Okay, great. So if you need, if you want some cool ping pong swag, water bottle notes, and T-shirt, put hashtag ping pong. U.S. only. That's it. So
start
filling it up. And
so we'll wait for a sec if anybody wants that. Not that they want it. It's if we just announced it now, we should have said that at the beginning.
Someone said I play table tennis, so a t-shirt with ping pong would be great. Yeah, not an ideal name, everyone, because if you can think about the customer service calls that we get of where's my ping pong table, it's pretty bad.
But Brad's asking for coupons. I don't know if that it, when you go to
coupons.
Yeah, the coupon for the signing up for your account. Is that what you're asking for, Red?
Okay, that might have been a bit confusing because we usually do hashtags for the giveaways. So if you're interested to sign up for Ping Pong and get the $500 credit with the currency from Ryan, you can email him. Put the email in the – it's right here. So ryan.kramer@pingpongx.us. So go ahead and email him, just mention Lunch with Norm and he'll set you up with that.
There we go. Okay. So let's do the ping pong now. I'm not sure how many people had a chance to,
Mark and, Olga, it looks like.
And Rad.
Brenda, Olga, Rad, Mark. Yeah. It looks like four so far. That's okay. We'll make sure people get, if they come in late, we can hook them up.
Okay, just a second.
Brandon. Norm, you said you're a competitor of mine. What are you talking about, podcasts, or are you talking about just financial? I didn't know that.
No, yeah, financial. So Honu offers finances. Financial.
I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. Just kidding. Look at that.
I had to put my plug in there. No, Honu, H-O-N-U, offers.
That's fine. It's all good. I forgot about that. You're just covering all the assets of Amazon. See, that's where
you know what? It's called vertical integration.
It's like you have to be good at everything and in everything. Exactly.
No. You have to hire people to be good in everything.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Wheel of Kelsey. Let's go.
All right. So here we go. We got five people. Let's do this. So 3, 2, 1.
Brenda.
So Brenda, I will reach out to you. You can also email me at k@lunchwithnorm.com. And let me just get rid of this.
Okay.
There we go.
And I think that's it. So today, this is actually one of our shorter podcasts. We usually hit that hour mark, but I think we got the information across that we needed. Ryan. Thank you for being on. I'm sure you're going to get a couple emails from our listeners.
Absolutely.
But is there anything else you'd like to say? Contact information?
Yeah. So my email, I'm on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Also, I do a podcast live just like this. We compete in that segment, but we're bringing on guests all the time. Norm's been a guest on my show. It's called Crossover Commerce. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, Ping Pong Payments, and we have a different playlist, but we go live almost every single day. I'll be live 3 p.m. Eastern with Rich Goldstein actually today talking about, patents, copyright, all the fun legal jargon about protecting yourself as an Amazon seller. So
he's got a great book too. It's a really easy read for
also a big fan of Clubhouse too. So I'm sure we'll talk about it as well.
Yeah. So Marsha just asked if we have a room. We're just getting that all set up, Marsha. We'll let you know. We've actually got something really cool set up that I think we'll be able to get all our guests over the week. So we'll have the podcast, and then we're going to bring them over and talk on Clubhouse open. So anybody who wants to join us on Clubhouse, we're trying to figure out the best way to do it because it's so new. But anyways, Ryan, Thank you so much for being on, and we'll talk to you soon, sir.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. See you. Okay, everybody. Thanks for joining our podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned a little bit about international markets. Got something really cool happening Wednesday. So this whole Clubhouse buzz that's happening, we want people to understand it. We want people to get to get the ins and outs of Clubhouse. So what I've got is the hottest thing right now. Check it out. You can go and just search out .clubs. Everybody are talking about it because at the end of the day in Clubhouse, you want a club. Well, we're going to tell you how to get a club, why get a club, what it does, and sort of a way to monetize it. It's hard right now. We're trying to figure out, we're trying to find out what's happening, how we can monetize on, as an Amazon seller, Clubhouse. So we'll be discussing that. Plus, we're going to have Paul Barron on. Now, Paul usually is talking about influencers. Paul, check him out. He's got like thousands and thousands and thousands of followers on Clubhouse. He was an early adopter, and he ended up doing it extremely well. So he's coming on to talk about this as well. This is, people really aren't talking too much about it. It is the buzz, but you got to be in Clubhouse to get the buzz. We're going to do it as a podcast. So tune in. And once again, those we've got four plus two invites that we can give out. And for Clubhouse, you have to be invited. You have to have an iPhone, by the way. I guess I should have mentioned that. Other than that, Kelsey, where are you?
Right here. Okay, so Brenda was asking about my email, so I sent it on the YouTube. It just might take a second to upload. But yes, about the Clubhouse group, we were looking to have our own room for Clubhouse, and we're going to be maybe having like a bonus episode, something kind of cool with like the guests of the week. But we'll give you more information once we've kind of arranged that. Yeah. Mark was saying he loves the idea, so that's great. Seems like Marsha's on board too, so I'm excited for that. Yeah, if you haven't already, please smash that like button, share the episode.
You're aggressive.
I know. Yeah, I got to pull back. but yeah, we really appreciate everyone joining us today. We have a bunch of questions. Ryan is also part of our group for the Beard Nation. So if you have any questions for Ryan, or if you think other people are also asking similar questions, you can post them inside the group. Just tag Ryan, and I'm sure he'd be happy to answer those questions as well. But yeah, I think that's it. I just have one review I want to read. Let's see, from Jack. All right, so love this podcast. I love this podcast. I've been searching for a podcast that gives actionable advice that I can implement, and this is it. I really appreciate the dedication of the Lynch Norm team. Love the beard, Norm. All right, so thank you, Jack.
All right, Jack, thank you.
All right, so we read any reviews that you guys write on Apple or Spotify, anywhere like that, we'll read it on here too. So thank you, everyone. Marina, thank you. Mark, Olga, Brenda, Darwin, everyone that's been commenting.
Everybody.
Thank you guys so much. We love you guys. And I think that's it.
Okay. So thank you, everybody. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for watching. Thanks for being part of the community. And we will talk to you soon. Have a great day. 100, 100, 100.